So we're thrilled to have the Keatons with us today. They popped in on a Wednesday night just a little over 2 years ago. So many of you probably missed that, and some of you weren't even coming to the church then. But they are just a tremendous couple. I've known them for I guess about 5 years is when we first met, about five or six years ago. But Angela was a teacher at Rhema Bible Training Center for 9 years, right? Did I get that right? 9 years. And then they married during that time and went to the mission field. They were in the Czech Republic and in Poland for 18 years, pioneering churches and training national ministers there. And those works and those ministries are still flourishing and doing well today. And several years ago, the Lord spoke to them to come back to America to help save America, to help usher in the last days move of the Spirit. So that's what they're here for. And I know they've got a powerful word to bless you today. So let's give a great welcome to Reverend Larry and Angela Keaton this morning. Praise God. Come on, Brother Larry.
You want to come up and say something?
I'll say it tonight.
Okay.
All right.
I asked her if she wanted to say something. She said she'll have her say tonight. I was so hungry for the things of God, I just married one of my instructors. Let me just kind of take a little side journey before I even get started. The scripture the pastor used, he said he gives seed to the sower and bread for food for the eater. Yeah. So you may be in a place that you can't give, but you can become a sower. Yeah. If you will say, Lord, I don't have it right now, but I purpose in my heart to be a sower. Yeah. And that qualifies you for God to give finances to you. And then you can start tithing and giving, and you can receive the blessings of a tither. Amen. One other thing before I get started in the Word this morning, and I just asked everyone to close your eyes for a moment. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but you're here and you've been tormented in your mind. If that's you, just pop your hand up and set it back down. I see that hand. I see those hands. So you can look up. So in the name of Jesus, because we sing about it, the name that's above every name, I take authority over that tormenting demon, that spirit of fear that's been harassing these people that raise their hand. There may be some on the internet as well. In Jesus' name, be free. I forbid you to operate because God revealed it. Now you have to leave. Now I thank you, Father, for the peace of God that passes all understanding to keep their hearts and minds, keep their mind in Christ Jesus. I thank you they're free and that the peace of God in garrisons their mind in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, this has been a crazy year, hadn't it? You know, the beginning of the year, I heard some people say that 2020 was going to be a year of plenty. And I was thinking, you know, plenty of blessings, plenty of anointing, plenty of this, plenty of that. It's been a year of plenty, all right. But it wasn't necessarily what we thought it was going to be. And I think it was the first few days of January, I woke myself up preaching two different times on Mark 11:23. Now, I know y'all are probably not familiar with that scripture. But let's just turn there. And you know, by the way, Dad Hagin didn't write this scripture. The Holy Ghost came on Mark, and he wrote the scripture. So have you found it in your Bible? Mark 11:23. He says, for assuredly, in other words, that's for certain, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe the things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. But you know what? It's sad, but it is true that this scripture doesn't work for everybody. This scripture won't work for everybody. The word of God in a whole will not work for everybody. You know why? Now I say things to shock people. The word of God doesn't work for everybody. You know why? Because not everybody will work it. What did the scripture say? Whosoever shall say. Come on. You got to say it. It's not good enough for your pastor to say it. It's not good enough for your husband or your wife to say it. It's not good enough for your mother or your daddy to say it. You got to say it. Hello. See if your mom and daddy are born again and they confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and you don't. Hello? I mean, that's the most important thing we can confess as Jesus Christ as Lord. But if you don't confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you don't get saved. And then, you know, you have to die and pay for the penalty of your sins. But you don't have to do that because Jesus has already died and paid the penalty for our sins. But there is a method in which we come into the kingdom. We believe in our hearts, confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and in an instant, we become a child of God. We change our eternal destination by believing something that God said in His Word and confessing it with our mouth. And guess what? The devil couldn't stop it. Woo! And guess what? If the devil can't stop the most important thing that God had for your life, he can't stop anything else. Come on now, I need y'all to help me this morning. I'm just a young preacher getting started. If you say amen, that's like it's saying sick 'em to a bulldog. If the devil couldn't stop the most important thing in your life, and that's your eternal salvation, he can't stop anything else. Amen. Woo! Charles Capps said, anybody know Charles Capps? Man, I am so thankful. God's creative power. I got a hold of that little book when I first got saved, and I learned how to renew my mind. And woo! So Jesus appeared to him one time, and he said, I have told my people they can have what they say, but my people are saying what they have. My goodness. People are saying what they have. See, because if you say what you have, then God can't even change things. You got to say what God says about a situation. Come on now. I said, you got to say what God says about a situation. See, because if you're saying what Communist News Network, I mean CNN, is saying, then that's what you're going to have. But if you say what God says, if you say what the Bible says, then that's what you'll have, regardless of what Communist News Network or all the other doubt and fear and unbelief propagators say. You don't have to have what everything else is going on in the world. Come on. I said, you don't have to have what everything else is going on in the world. So let's go ahead and look at, we'll break this down. Mark 11, 23. For surely I say to you, that's Jesus talking to us. Say that with me. Say, Jesus is talking to me.
And
Mark 11, 23. So he said, surely I say to you, whoever. Are you a whoever?
Yes.
Whoever says to the mountain. So he didn't say talk about the mountain. Come on now. Oh, well, you just don't understand, Brother Larry, this and this and this and this and that. No, you just don't understand the power of God's word in your mouth. Come on. You put God's word in your mouth and you move mountains. You move situations. You move problems. You move circumstances. You move symptoms. Come on, because if you talk about a symptom, guess what? You're just glorifying and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That's why we talk about God. That's why we glorify God. That's why we lift Him up, because we want Him to be bigger in our life than anything else. He's already given us the victory. We just have to take a step of faith and walk in it and talk it. Because you can't walk in something until you talk it. You don't get born again until you talk it, till you declare it. You've got to make a declaration of what you believe, and we know how faith comes. Amen. Faith comes by and hearing the word of God. It's the only way it comes. So he says, whoever shall say unto this mountain, we got to talk to our mountains. Come on, we got to talk to the problems. We got to talk to the situations in our life that are contrary to the word of God. Because we don't have to accept it. But when you talk about your problems, when you talk about your symptoms, when you talk about your lack, then you accept it. and it becomes a reality in your life. See, the truth, God's word is the truth. And when the truth comes out of your mouth, it will always change any adverse circumstance or situation. Now see, faith is not like an ostrich that sticks his head in the sand and say, I don't have a problem, I don't have a problem, I don't have a problem. No, faith declares the truth over the problem, and faith in God's word coming out of your mouth changes the problem. See, you in our new birth, man, that's one of the best examples of faith that I know of. You were dying and you were on your way to hell, but you heard about what Jesus did and you declared Jesus as your Savior, and it changed your eternal destination. And like I said, the devil could not stop it. And if the devil cannot stop the most important thing that's God's will in your life, he can't stop anything else. Amen. But you've got to say it. Like I said, it doesn't work for everybody because not everybody works it. Not everybody says it. Not everybody declares the truth. He said, whoever says to the mountain. So we talk to our mountain. You know, have you ever heard that old saying, crazy people talk to themselves? You know, I wonder where that came from. The pit of hell, that's where it came from. Right. Because the devil doesn't want us talking to our mountains. Right. He said, be removed and be cast to sea. See, you tell things what to do. Yeah. Come on. We got to talk to our situations and tell them what to do. Yeah. You know, if you got symptoms in your body, you say, by his stripes I'm healed. Yeah. You don't talk about your sickness. Now you got to go, you got to be use your mind. You know, God did give us a mind. Right. You don't go to the doctor and the doctor says, what's wrong? You say, well, by his stripes I'm healed. No, you got to tell the doctor. But now any other time, come on now. Well, brother, how are you feeling today? Well, you know, I'd have to die to feel better. No. You just say, by his stripes, I'm healed. I believe God's healing power is working in my body. And those of us that understand this will know what we're talking about. Amen? Because you talk to some of the parts of the body of Christ, and they think you're crazy if you talk like this. And they think you're crazy if you come to a church like this. And you know what? We really are kind of crazy when it comes to the world system, because we're out of our mind. We're in the mind of Christ. Woo! See, when you're in the mind of Christ, you talk like him. You act like him. And you have what he says you can have. And nothing less. So he says, be removed and be cast into the sea. Be removed and be cast into the sea. See, out of sight, out of mind. When you talk to things, you get it out of your mind and you don't think about it, you don't see it anymore until somebody comes along and reminds you of it, or until the devil reminds you of it. You know, as a matter of fact, let me just take a little side journey here. God's not going to remind you of the sins that you repented over. He's not going to remind you of anything that you did before you got saved. And then if you have a temporary period of stupidity, and you do something wrong, you wrong somebody, you get off into sin, and then you ask God to forgive you. He's not going to remind you of that either, but the devil will. Don't you remember how you talked to your wife on the day, on the way to church today? Or you know, you slapped your child in the car on the way to church today. Now, that might not be a bad idea if you... You know, the Bible does tell us to spank our children, but I'm not teaching on raising children today. So he says, be removed and be cast in the sea. In other words, get out of my sight and get out of my mind. I'm going to have what God says, and that's all I'm going to have. I was a drug dealer and a drug addict for 13 years before I got saved on July 6, 1983. And then I got a hold of Charles Capp's little book. I got into a good church like this, and I started renewing my mind. But it was a process. You know, I'd spent 30 years living like the devil. and having anything I wanted. If it felt good, I did it. But then I came over into the kingdom of God and I had to learn how to live His way.
Amen.
And thank God, in 6-9 months' time, man, I mean, instantly I got changed as a new creature. But I had all this stuff, all these thought patterns, all these appetites that my flesh was accustomed to. I had to deal with that stuff. All of us do. When we come into the kingdom, there's things we have to deal with. And the only way to scripturally deal with it is put God's word in your mouth and say it.
Amen.
And it begins to build faith in your heart. And then it begins to renew your mind. And then that is when you have victory in Christ Jesus. Because the victory has already been provided, but we have to walk it out. So he says, be removed and be cast in the sea. And here's a good one. Doubt not in your heart. My. Doubt not in your heart. The Aramaic word for doubt means to be divided or undecided in your heart. You know, Jesus said a house divided can't stand. You know, James said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Doubt not in your heart. You know, doubt and fear and unbelief hinders God. Somebody might say, I remember Brother Hagin. He made a statement. He's one time in his preaching, he said, God can't do everything he wants to do. And a man jumped up in the congregation. He says, God can do anything he wants to do. And Dad says, well, why don't he make you pay your tithes? And the man sat down and shut up. No, God can't do anything unless you get in agreement with him.
Right.
I mean, if he could do anything he wanted to do, but he'd make all of us get saved. And then Jesus would come. No. God wants us to cooperate with him.
Amen.
You know, fear is really false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. And like I said, fear hinders the plan and purpose of God in your life. But faith releases God's ability in your life. You know, there's an example in Mark chapter 6. Jesus in his own hometown. Let's go there. Mark chapter 6, verse 1 through 6. Mark 6, verse 1. Then he went out from there, and he came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when on the Sabbath he had come and he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him? And such mighty works are performed by his hands. That's a thumbs up on all of that statement. But remember this for later. Is this not the carpenter's son, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. You know, offense is a horrible thing. Come on now. Offense is a horrible thing, and we don't want to get offended at anything. And all this stuff that's going on, in especially in the United States and even throughout the world, the main problem is people are not yielding to love. You know, there's every nationality, most every nationality has received horrible things done to them. And, you know, it's not just here in the United States. Pride is a terrible thing. I mean, every nation we've been in, they talk about the other nations around them and how their nation is better. That's just the devil. The devil wants to get in and divide and conquer. But love will always prevail. So anyway, they were offended at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, in his own house. Notice that. He said a prophet is not without honor. In other words, see, they knew Jesus. I mean, these people knew Jesus from the time he was grown up. Some of them might even help Joseph and Mary change his diapers. And they looked at him in the flesh. Can I take a side journey here? You know, God has given gifts in the body of Christ in Ephesians 4. He said, verse 8, he ascended on high and he gave gifts to men. Verse 11, he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. You know your pastor is a gift to you. He didn't ask for the gift that God put on the inside of him. My wife and I pastored for 17 years. And it's amazing how that gift on the inside of us would work for our people. I mean, we'd get up Sunday morning and we'd see their faces, and all of a sudden God would speak to us. And tell us and show us things about them. I wish I could get that gift to work for me like it did for my people, but it didn't. I had to live by faith just like I taught my people. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. So what am I saying? Honor and respect your pastor. Amen. Especially those of you that have an opportunity to be around him on a regular basis. Because you'll see his flesh, his nature, his natural nature more than anybody else. And sometimes you'll let that override the gift that's in him for your sake. So anyway, a word to the wise is sufficient. Verse 5. And he could do no mighty works there because he was so mad at them because of the way they treated him. Huh? No. It said he could do no mighty works there except lay his hands on a few sick folk and heal them. And he marveled at their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Wonder why he did that. Because he knows how faith comes. He'd go over here and he'd teach. Then he'd go over here and he'd teach. And 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 then he'd start the cycle all over. Because he knew faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's how he dispelled unbelief. So we saw right here, Jesus was limited. Jesus, the mighty Son of God, could not. It didn't say he would not. Said he could not do any mighty works there except lay his hands on a few sick folks and heal them. And that word sick means people with minor ailments. In other words, he couldn't speak a command and see people heal. He had to revert back to laying hands on them. Back to Mark 11:23. For surely I say, whoever says of this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe the things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. But believe the things you say will be done. See, you got to believe in your own words. Come on. You got to believe the things you say will be done. Well, Brother Larry, you know, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. You know, that's a lie from the pits of hell. Yep. Amen. That was one thing I had to learn because of all the horrible lifestyle I lived. Because I had to take 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 21, he that knew no sin was made to be sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. I had to just drill it into my mind. And by the washing of the water of the word, nobody can convince me that I'm not righteous now. Like I said, I may have a temporary period of stupidity and do something stupid. But I just ask God to forgive me and I get washed again in the blood of Jesus. My brain gets washed away. All that stupid thinking. Well, I'm just an unworthy worm. Then he gets saved. And then that gives you the ability to step into the place that the blood of Jesus has provided for you and act like a son and daughter of Almighty God. Believe the things that you say shall come to pass. At first we speak to create faith, then we speak from a heart of faith. Say it until we believe it, then say it because we believe it. See, there are times that we have to make confessions unto faith, but then later we begin to make confessions of faith. And that's when things start moving. That's when we have what Jesus has already provided for us. He will have whatever he says. Or she will have whatever he says. That's what the Bible said, and I didn't say it. He said, you will have what you say. Now, we want to keep this on the positive, but it also works on the negative. God can't, like I said, in salvation, all that old, that Christian stuff, I used to say this before I got saved. That Christianity, it's just for old women and weak men. And guess what? I didn't get saved. And I said all kind of stuff that I can't say here anymore. But I thought it was just a crutch. You know, but that's what the devil wanted me to think. He didn't want me to come into his kingdom. He didn't want me to learn that I can have what I say. And but all the time I was having what I said. And I was holding back God from doing what he wanted to do. I was holding back God from all the people that we've reached in Poland, all the people we've reached in the Czech Republic, and all the other nations that God has sent us to. See, the devil was a whole lot smarter than I was. But thank God, he's not anymore. He's a defeated foe. And he's right there. Right there, under my feet. He's not in my head because I say he's not in my head. I have the mind of Christ. I'm not stupid like I used to be. He has whatever he says. Say that with me. I have what I say. Not what the world says, but I have what I say. And I say what God says. Therefore, I have what God says. Woo! I've got the victory. I've got the peace of God. And I mean, you could just go for the next hour and a half saying what God said you have. And you ought to. I said you ought to. Because that's how you have it. You have to speak it into existence. Isn't that the way God did things in the beginning? I mean, you go back into Genesis and it said, God said, God said, God said, God said 26 times. And then he said, everything that God said was good. He didn't wave his arm and cause things to come into existence. He didn't flick his finger and cause things to come into existence. No, he spoke it. He knew what his plan was and he spoke it into existence. And we need to find out what God's plan is and speak it into existence. Because the devil would like us to have all the stuff that the news media is saying. The devil would like to get us in the same boat as all the naysayers. And get us to talk about that and get us to talk about our problems. Get us to talk about our president. But we're not going to do that, are we? Because we're sons and daughters of Almighty God, and we're going to put his word in our heart and speak it out of our mouth, and that's what we're going to have. Talking health and healing precedes walking in health and healing. Talking prosperity precedes walking in prosperity. We must talk it before we walk it and while we're walking it. Talk God's word, walk in all his provisions. But like I said, this doesn't work for everybody because not everybody will do this. You know, before I got saved, I just always said what I had. And guess what? I always had what I said. But when I got saved and learned the power of this truth, I began to have the blessings of God in my life. Here's another. Jesus said virtually the same thing in Matthew chapter 21. God's word is the language of faith. Matthew 21:21. Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly. In other words, there's no ifs, ands, and doubts about this.
Yes.
No ifs, ands, and buts about this. Assuredly, he said to them, I say to you, if you have faith, and you do when you hear the word, if you had faith and you do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to this fig tree, but you'll say to this mountain. What will you say to this mountain? Well, I'm glad you asked. Be removed and be cast in the sea, and it will be done. Not might be done. Well, you just never know what God's going to do. No, you know what God's going to do because he gave us 66 books of what his will is. And when we get in an agreement with what he says for our life, for our nation, for our situation, and we begin to speak it, that's when things get changed. That's when the mountains begin to move in your life. I mean, like I said, I began preaching this before there was any knowledge of this COVID stuff. It works. God's word works in your heart, out of your mouth. Regardless of what the naysayers are saying, God's word is higher than anything anybody in this earth has to say. Speaking God's word releases God's power. Talking about the circumstances releases the power of the devil. In Psalms chapter 78, verse 41, you know, the children of Israel, God delivered them with a mighty hand out of Egypt and brought them through the desert into the promised land. But during the time that they were in the desert, now just think about all the miracles that God performed for the children of Israel, bringing them out of Egypt. We came out of Egypt too, thank God. The life of being unborn again. The verse 78, chapter 78, verse 41. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Well, what did God just bring us out here to kill us? You know, I wish he'd have left us in Egypt. And all the stupid stuff that they were saying. I mean, don't they think that the mighty hand of God that delivered them out of Egypt? I mean, here they're at the Red Sea, and God splits the sea, and they walk across on dry ground. Dry ground. That's a miracle itself.
Yes.
Splitting the Red Sea, holding, Psalm says that the waters were congealed. Yeah. And you're talking to millions of people. They walk across on dry ground, and then here come the Egyptians, and the waters swallow them up. And then they get into the promised land, they're headed to the promised land, and they start murmuring and griping and complaining. And that's why God was limited, because of what they were saying. God's not going to be limited by our words, because we're going to say the right words.
Amen.
We're not going to limit God, are we? Come on, brothers and sisters. We're going to stop limiting God if we are.
Amen.
And we're going to get our mouth, our tongue, hooked up with the word of God and start declaring what God said we can have. In Matthew 6:31, he said, do not worry saying. Well, you can look at the flip side of that. Have faith and say. See, doubt, fear, and unbelief is released the same way faith is released. And doubt, fear, and unbelief come to us by what we see, what we feel, what we hear. And you know what? Like I said about the news media, there is an on and off switch on that thing. And it would behoove us if we'd turn it off. But we don't want to turn the Word of God off in our lives. We don't want to take a vacation on God's Word, do we? Especially during this time. I mean, like I said, We're not like ostriches and stick our head in the sand and say, there is no COVID, there is no COVID. Because it is. It's a real thing. And it's a horrible thing. But the Word of God in our mouth is much stronger than any of that. The Word of God in our mouth is much stronger than any division that's trying to come in this nation.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen.
So he said, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Well, I just don't know. You know, this has been bad times. And I didn't remember. You just do good by putting your hand over your mouth and by saying nothing. At least you might be able to ride on the words that you said years ago. Numbers chapter 13. Here's another example of the power of our words. Now, there were 12 spies. You know, now when you talk about a spy, I would assume that that's someone that goes into a territory and comes back undetected. Keep that in mind. Into the land of Canaan, the land that flows with milk and honey. That's what God said he was giving them.
Right.
See, that's what God has given us much better. Yeah. A land of Canaan. See, and you got to understand, these people lived under an old covenant. We live under a new covenant based on the blood of Jesus Christ, based on the Word of God. And so in Numbers chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land, which I am giving the children of Israel. God said he's giving it to them. All we had to do was go in and possess it. For each tribe and their fathers, and you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. So there was 12 spies. After 40 days, they returned with this report. Verse 23. And then they came to the river Eshcol, and there cut down a branch of one cluster of grapes, and they carried it between two men. That sounds like a land of abundance.
Yes.
I mean, you know, when we were in the Czech Republic in Poland, we got fruit from Israel. And I mean, we saw some grapes this big. Now, they had seeds in them. I like seedless grapes. But I'm talking about, and so these grapes were so huge that they had to stick a pole through it and had to have two guys to carry a cluster of it. I mean, that's proof right there in front of your eyes that what God was sending them into and what God had promised them, they could have it. But they got to looking at the wrong things. You know, it's not good to look at the wrong things. And like I said, we don't want to ignore this COVID stuff and the other stuff that's going on, but we want to look at God's Word because God's Word gives us a different image.
Right.
Verse 23. Oh, let me finish that. And so they carried between them a pole, and they also brought some pomegranates and figs. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days, and now they departed. And they came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back a word to them, and all the congregation showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we went to the land which you sent us, and truly it flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, but they were billy goat Christians. Well, they weren't even Christians, but I know God's word says, but I know what God's word says, but we don't want to be billy goat Christians, do we? No, we want to say what God said and leave the but out. That somebody else can say it. Amen. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw descendants of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and all the otherites. And they dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Nevertheless, the voice of fear. Come on now. Let's just be truthful. That's a voice of fear. But here's the voice of faith. Verse 30. And Caleb quieted the people. He said, shut up! Everybody shut up! What are you talking about? You know what God said? God made a promise. And we went into the land. The land looks just exactly like God said. God didn't say they weren't giants. He said the land is yours. All you got to do is take it. Here's the provisions in the land and all these other rights and stuff. But he said, you're well able. Wherever God sends you, you're well able. And let me say this. Wherever God sends you, you're better off being there than you are in the safest place that the world says there is.
Amen, amen. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
My mama, bless her heart, she's in heaven, but she didn't understand some of these things. And she would just, she'd walk out to the street when we'd visit her and leave. And she'd just cry and say, son, I just don't understand. Why are you running off and leaving me? And I said, Mama, I said, you're safer right here and me going and obeying God than you would be if I moved next door to you. Because we knew we were in the will of God. And it wasn't necessarily easy. It's not necessarily easy for any of us when we obey God. But everything we need, want, desire is in the place that God puts us.
Amen.
And let me just take a little side journey here. If this, you know that you know that this is His church. Don't let the devil, your stinking thinking, or anybody else talk you out of it. And there may be some of you out there, like the pastor said, you for some reason or another, you're not ready to come back. Well, really, you need to take this message I'm preaching this morning and preach it to yourself till you're filling these chairs.
Amen. Yes.
Because you'll be safer here in church because God said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together.
Amen. Amen.
A word to the wise is sufficient. So, verse 30, Caleb quieted the people before the Lord, and he said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.
Amen.
Why? Because of what he said in verse 2. The land of Canaan, which I'm giving the children of Israel. Verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report. My. They gave the children a bad report of the land which they spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. We saw the giants and the descendants of Anak and became from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, so we were in their sight. My. They talked themselves out of the provision of God. So I want to show you what these people thought about the children of Israel. Go with me to Joshua chapter 2. Verse 9 through 11. You know, this is when the two spies, Rahab took the two spies that went in and she protected them. And this is the report that the people thought about the children of Israel. Joshua 2:9, and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land. She's talking to the spies. And she said that the terror of you was fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land were faint-hearted because of you. That's what they thought about the children of Israel.
Right.
But see, because of what they thought, what the children of Israel thought and what they were saying, it messed with their head. And then it not only caused problems for them, but they propagated that fear to everybody else. Verse 10, this is Rahab still speaking. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for when you came out of Egypt, and how what he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, who you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you, because of the Israelites. For the Lord your God, he is the God of heavens above and the earth beneath. My goodness. God said it's a land that flows with milk and honey, and it's yours. All you got to do is go in and possess it. See, there's many things God has given us, but we've got to go in and possess it. Come on, brothers and sisters. We got to go and possess it. We got to be tithers and givers and go in and possess the prosperity that God has given us. God, Jesus bore the stripes on his back for our healing, but we got to go and possess it. I said, we have to go and possess it. The promises of God are not automatic. We have to go in and possess it. Our peace, it's already been provided, but we have to go in and possess it. How do I do that? The peace of God that passes all understanding guards my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. You take the word and drive out the doubt, fear, and unbelief that's in your mind. So let's continue the story in Numbers 14, verse 1. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried to the people and wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. My. I mean, here's a promise, a provision, and they got faint in their minds because of what the other 10 spies said. You know, it's better to listen to people of faith than it is people of doubt.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
You know, if you hear somebody say, well, you just never know what God's going to do, turn that thing off. You don't need to listen to that. And then pray that God had sent him to a good Bible school so he'd learn better. Verse 3, why has God brought us to this land to fall by the sword, or our wives or our children become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said one to other, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Oh my goodness. You know, but people haven't changed. We went to Czechoslovakia in 1992. It was Czechoslovakia when we went there. November 1989, the wall fell and communism began to topple in all the Eastern Bloc countries. But they still had communism in them. The older people my age and older, they were all saying, oh, I wish we could go back to communism. Because everything is provided for us. Everything was free. But the sad thing about it is that they had lived under that so long, they didn't realize it was the government that was controlling everything. And you know what? Socialism isn't any better.
Amen.
Socialism is communism with a suit and tie. Now, I'm going to let my wife talk more about that tonight. You really need to hear this stuff because we lived under it 18 years. We've got a pastor friend in Canada. They're under socialism. We don't want it here.
Amen.
Come on now. And we don't want anybody in control in our nation that wants it here.
Amen.
Everything is free. No, it's not.
Amen.
Somebody's got to pay for it, and guess who it is? And you don't have no say-so. You don't have any say-so. Anyway, I'll let my wife go into greater detail tonight. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron and all these other places. Descendants of Enoch were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zion in Egypt. And they became the valley of Eshcol and cut down the branch of the cluster of grapes, and they carried it between the two of them. And they also brought some pomegranates and figs. Verse 27, it says, "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complained against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel made against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so it will be, so I will do to you."
Yeah.
Wow. God says, you're going to have it. You're going to have what you're saying.
Yeah.
"The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness, and all of you who were numbered according to the entire number, from 20 years old and above." You know, Hebrews 3:18-19 says, "To whom did he swear that they would not enter into his rest, but those who did not obey?" So we see that they could not enter in because of their unbelief. And then verse 37, it said, "Those very men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague before the Lord." Wow. Number one, we've got to be watchful of what we're hearing. And especially number two, that's how they do it in the Czech Republic and Poland. One and two. You've got to watch what you say.
Yes.
Got to watch what you say.
Amen.
I want to encourage you, give you some homework. Go look into Proverbs and search the words tongue, lips, and mouth.
Yeah.
Man, I bet there's 70 scriptures that talk about the importance of your mouth, your lips. Because ultimately, we're going to have what we say. So, can I give you a few scriptures that you can be confessing?
Yeah.
Now, this is just a few. These are things, you know, like I said, at the beginning of the year, before I knew about this COVID stuff, God gave me these scriptures, and there may be lots more. I mean, you may have your own scriptures, but here are some good scriptures that we can be saying. Our health. Psalms 91:10. "No evil shall befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling." "No plague shall come nigh me and won't attach itself to me. By his stripes I'm healed." Matthew 8:17. "Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses." Well, if Jesus took them and bore them, there's no need for me to take them and bore them. I'm not taking that.
Amen.
I'm going to take my medicine. I'm going to take my gospels. I'm going to say what God says, Galatians 3:13. "Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law." And this COVID stuff is under the curse. Sickness and disease is under the curse. And I'm redeemed from the curse. My provision, Deuteronomy 28:8. "The Lord will command the blessings on you and your storehouses and to all which you set your hand to. He will bless the land in which the Lord has given you." In other words, whatever I put my hands to prospers. And then you go into Malachi, the blessings of the tither. "He will rebuke the devourer for your sake, that your vine won't cast its fruit before its time." That means everything that you have has supernatural longevity. And Philippians 4:19, "If you're a giver, it works. But you got to be a giver. It says that he supplies all of my need according to his riches and glory. Thank you, thank you. Let me give the two more. We'll talk about our family. I got a hold of this scripture, Acts 16:31. I was the first one to get saved in my family, and I found this. It says, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your house will be saved. And I grabbed hold of that like a bulldog. And I said, Lord, I'm saved. And your word says, my household shall be saved. Now, thank God, my mom, my dad's in heaven, my nephew's in heaven, my brother serves God. It works. And then Matthew chapter 9, verse 38, it said, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest that he send laborers into the harvest. When I got saved, I was so radical when I was a heathen that I didn't change. The radicalism in me didn't change. It just was redirected in the right way. And I really kind of scared some of my family. My mama told me, she said, I liked you better when you were dealing drugs. But anyway, God sent laborers to them. My brother got saved and got my mother saved. Thank God. But these are scriptures, and there may be more. Be adamant about it. Come on now. Be adamant about it. If God said it, you can have it if you say it. But God can't work against your words. He wants to. He wants his perfect will in your life, but he won't work against your words. And you know, I've already talked about this morning. There may be some out there, some of you here this morning. I would assume that you're all saved, but I don't necessarily know. But if you're not, you can be. And you know, some people say, well, you know, everybody gets to go to heaven. That's not true. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If we don't confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and believe that God, he was buried, resurrected, and God raised him from the dead, and we confess him as Lord, that's the only way to heaven. I don't care what other religions say. This is our truth and only truth. Yes. Amen. God's word. So if you're not saved this morning, you can be. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross for my sins, that you were buried and resurrected, and I confess you as my Lord. And a miracle takes place in your life. Yes.